Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down.
Funny thing about courage, when everything's going great, you don't need it. The only time you need courage is when you need courage, when you need courage because everything is coming against you. Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to talk about joyful courage, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, Beloved Synod, Take Courage. Matt, welcome back.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing pretty good. Take us back, if you would, to, you say it's about circa 800 BC. God's people, in particular, his army, are facing what appear to be insurmountable odds and enemies. And yet the prophet Elisha has a word from the Lord. What is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. The people and the king were most troubled at the prospect of the opposition, and it had outnumbered them apparently to quite a great extent. And then there's this great text from 2 Kings. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all about the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes so that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so it is in life that we often feel like we're surrounded, outnumbered, overwhelmed by all of the things going on in this world. And nevertheless, the victory is the Lord's, and his angels... His angels protect us. The Lord's hand is all about us and making sure that nothing befalls us, but that he is directing and allowing and sending for our good.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison. We're talking about joyful courage. We'll talk about, his perspective as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on many of the problems facing us Christians. Stay tuned.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest, and we're talking for the next 10 minutes on this Thursday afternoon about joyful courage. Matt, I wonder, since you've been in the bowels of American denomination for some time, and now you're serving as its president, whether or not you have a unique perspective on the troubles that face the church, that it's changed over time here. But, of course, these troubles are constant with the church. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's really amazing, isn't it? When we see the troubles that we have at our particular moment, we're prone to think, because most of the time we really don't know much history, we're prone to think, oh my, the troubles that they faced in the previous decades or centuries of the church were not anything like ours. We're on the edge. Oh, things are in decline. We're really in trouble. And yet, from the Lord's perspective, there is a faithfulness of the Lord all along. The difficulties that we are going through. I remember I had several years ago one of my predecessors in LCMS World Relief came, and he was kind of filling me in on the challenges he had 20 years before. And I said at one point, well, the names have changed, but the scenarios all are exactly the same. I was reading the biography of President John Bancken recently, and he lists all of the same kind of challenges that we have today, financial challenges, et cetera. And so it really kind of gives you a different perspective on the blessings of the Lord.
And yet you say it is more than just, well, we faced this before, we can face it again. You reference Luther, who says that there are three sources of this joyful courage that the Christian and that the church ought to have. What are they?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was studying Luther on this issue of courage, and I noted three themes that he mentions. The first is repentance. And for Luther, this issue of repentance is very important because it's the pathway to a clear conscience. A clear conscience doesn't mean you're not a sinner. A clear conscience means you confess your sins, you're honest to God, and you're forgiven. And therefore, having your load taken away by Christ, forgiven by God, you can stand upright and say, I'm forgiven, my conscience is clear, I can have courage and move forward. And that's vitally important to the Christian life, to know that you're forgiven. And secondarily, another source of courage for Luther was the issue of the Word of God being clear. You know, when he made his Here I Stand speech at Worms, he says, I stand here on the basis, with a clear conscience, on the basis of the Word of God. I can't do anything else. The Word of God is fundamentally clear. A lot of people think it's a morass of unintelligible stuff that can't be figured out and everybody's got a different interpretation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible is clear. And the basic tenets of the faith, which you have in the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Holy Baptism, Confession and Absolution, and the Lord's Supper, they are absolutely crystal clear. And the Bible gives us clear direction on how to live our life. And knowing with clarity what, and much of our lives is under the realm of freedom, knowing with clarity what the Word of God says, we're free, and we have a good conscience. We're free to act and know that we are standing within the blessing and the will of God. And then finally, the third area that gave Luther a lot of courage in life was knowing in his case that he had received his doctor's degree, a doctor of Holy Scripture, and he had been recognized by the church as a doctor, a teacher of the Holy Scriptures. And so also, our vocation, our calling in life, your calling in life, to do what you do as a pastor and a radio broadcaster. The Lord has you in a place. The Lord has you in a place to touch the people that are actually in contact with you. And it is your sacred vocation to serve right there. It's your sacred vocation to serve as a father, as a spouse, as a neighbor. God has actually given you the people around you, and he wants you to serve there as a missionary, serve there as an apostle of mercy to those around you. And knowing that we have a clear vocation and purpose in life, we can also have courage. The Lord has put me here. And we can have a sort of, as Luther says, a joyful daring about life and go about life with a bit of joy and a smile.
What do you say, Matt, to someone who says, but I don't feel courageous?
Yeah, well, I'll guarantee you, Luther's knees were knocking when he was confessing his faith in the gospel in front of the entire political might of the Western world at Worms in 1520. It's quite a sort of simul justus et peccator, same time saint and sinner. It's like joy, for instance, or fear. We often are a balled up mixture of all of the above. And yet, it's precisely God driving us into difficult situations, putting us in challenging places, bringing us to difficult vocations in life. Those things drive us to Scripture. Those things drive us to our knees to recognize our sinfulness, to repent. They drive us to grab hold of Christ and his word for confidence. And they drive us to recognize our place in life, the vocations the Lord has given us. So it's precisely the lack of courage that drives us to Christ. And it's those circumstances that actually grow us to be the courageous people that God would have us be, even though we'll always fall short.
Well, speaking of encouragement, you have encouraged our church body to pray the litany during the season of Lent. What is the litany, and why should we pray it?
It's a magnificent prayer. It grows out of those first requests, Lord, have mercy, blind Bartimaeus to Jesus, or the lame, or people asking for a servant or a child to be healed. Lord, have mercy upon us. Kyrie eleison is the original Greek that appears in the Greek New Testament. And out of these, of course, the Kyrie comes right into the earliest church, this plea for mercy. And it's such a fundamental gospel concept. Jesus loves to have mercy. He comes to have mercy. He delights in having mercy. If you know in the Bible, anytime somebody comes to Jesus and says, I'm going to give you something, or this is what I'm going to do for you, Jesus receives those people, Jesus speaks the word of law to them, drives them away to try to bring them to repentance. Think of the rich young man who came to him and said, what else do I need to inherit eternal life? But anybody who comes to Jesus pleading for mercy, like the Syrophoenician woman, yes, Lord, but even the dogs receive what the crumbs that fall from the master's table. They go away with the goods. So we come to Jesus for mercy. In the first centuries of the church, in the worship of the church, this litany was developed and lengthened. And by about the 5th, 6th century, it comes to have much the form that it has today. It's a long litany, a long prayer pleading for the mercy of God in our lives, pleading for all kinds of different needs. It was prayed consistently throughout the entire Middle Ages up to the time of the Reformation. And then Luther saw in it a great strength. And he actually provided the litany revised. He removed the prayers to the saints and a couple of unevangelical sort of aspects. He revised it and put it out both in Latin and in German for people to pray. And so we've had it ever since Luther's day, 500 years, and it existed 1,000 years before Luther. We've had it in this standard form. And what is really great about this is, as I've said elsewhere, when prayer is anchored in texts, we don't tend to just pray, as I did as a 12-year-old, dear God, give me a mini bike. when our prayers are anchored in the text, the texts pull us outside of ourselves. So we're praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all people for their needs, for the church, for pastors, for faithful teachers, for the propagation of the gospel, for the poor, the needy, the imprisoned, the sick, for mothers with children, for children, for the poor, for strength in time of temptation and struggle and difficulty. And the litany helps us pray a fulsome prayer for all the needs in the world.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Beloved Synod, Take Courage. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Matt, thank you for your time. Did you ever get the mini bike?
Funny thing, I never got the mini bike, but I got far, far more than I could have ever imagined.
Thanks for your time.
Take care.
Well, when you go home tonight, and I know you will be surfing the web, check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's the Faith Alive Student Bible. It's a study Bible highlighting Christ and His saving work on every page of Scripture. IssuesETC.org. You'll find it on every page of the website. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible with Dr. Jeff Kloa. We'll be talking about how long was Jesus in the grave, the date of Christ's, and the hour of Christ's crucifixion. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.